The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why did Jesus often speak in parables? Stories that hid meaning to some and revealed it to others. How is Jesus and his teaching a light? Listen for a challenging discussion today here on Grace in Focus, and thank you for joining us. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are located in North Texas, and we'd love for you to know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. One of the things you'll find there is our bi-monthly free subscription magazine, Grace in Focus. You'll have to pay for postage if you live outside of the lower 48 United States, but otherwise it's free, and it's excellent. Subscribe today at faithalone.org. Now with today's aforementioned discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
And we're continuing our kind of very broad overview of the Gospel of Mark as GES is looking at putting out a standalone commentary on this gospel. And Bob, boy, I tell you, Bob and I were talking a little bit before we started recording here about these verses we're looking at here in chapter 4. This is an example where there's going to be differences of opinion and hopefully cause all of us to search the scriptures a little bit closer.
There's also an issue that comes up because as we talk about this, I think we understand Mark 4, 21 and 22 slightly differently. But I wonder if it's possible that these two verses have more than one meaning. You see, most people say every passage has only one correct interpretation. And for the most part, I think that's correct. But there are some passages where there is an interpretation based on what actually literally had, and there's also a typological interpretation because it's a type of Christ or a type of something else, and that's a secondary application. But there are also places where the words themselves may have double meaning. Like, you must be born again. It's anothen. And the word either means again or from above. And in the passage of John 3 with Jesus talking, he talks about both above and again.
Right.
In fact, Hodges said we should translate this, you must be born again from above.
So he does both.
He does both. So in this passage, is it possible when Jesus is talking about secrets and revealing secrets in the future, is it possible that means one thing in the immediate context of what we're talking about, but it also has a broader application in terms of the entire scriptures, Old and New Testament, or the entire New Testament?
And I think what you can say is, correct me if I'm wrong, it can mean something in the immediate context, but applying it, there's also truths that we can apply it to,
right?
Something like that. So we could say, well, it means more than one thing here. It means something in the actual context. But as we look at, say, okay, how does this apply to me or the church today? It also has this other meaning, something like that.
All right. Why don't you read the mystery verses?
Yeah. And it's funny. I think a lot of people might read these verses and say, wow, I didn't realize there were, you know, two or three options here. But in Mark chapter 4, Jesus begins speaking in parables.
Right.
So this is a change. This is a change in his teaching. And in Mark 3, what instigates his change is the religious leaders say, you're possessed by Satan. You're doing Satan's work. Okay. And so Jesus now begins to speak in parables. And the disciples ask him earlier, well, why are you speaking to them in parables? But anyway, when you get down to chapter 4, verse 21 and 22, Jesus says to them, I take that to be the disciples here, because he is speaking to the crowds at large, but then there's times in the chapter he's explaining things to the disciples.
Right.
And I take that to them here to be the disciples. And anyway, here's what he says. Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand?
In other words, you don't take a light.
Right.
And put it somewhere where you don't want light.
Exactly.
Light
or
under a bed. You don't need a light under there. You put it out on the lampstand so it lights up the whole room.
Right. What is a light for? To show things so you can see.
It reveals.
It reveals. There you go. Yeah, it reveals. And what's his point? He says, For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, your word, right?
Right.
A lamp is to reveal things, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Okay, that's what a lamp does. It shines light on everything.
Right.
Okay? And then he says to the disciples, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So he's telling the disciples, let's do what I'm telling you in these parables.
Okay? And Jesus is the lamp. He is the light of the world.
Yeah, and that's one of the possible interpretations of it, that Jesus is saying, I'm the lamp. Who's the lamp? Who is the lamp? Is it Jesus? Other people, and these are all, they're biblically true to say, we're the light. The disciples are to be the light.
Right.
So what if we come to these verses and say, Jesus is the light? Or what if we come to these verses and say, I'm the light, you know, as if I'm a disciple of the Lord? And I think those are very common way to people, let your light, like you said, let your light shine. Isn't there a little kid's?
This
light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Is that what's going on here?
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
Now, in our conversations, you brought up another probably more common way with free grace people, the way this is understood.
Yeah, the way I take it or have taken it is that he's talking about eschatological judgments. That is, the judgment seat of Christ for believers, the great white throne judgment for unbelievers. And what he's saying is, there's nothing that we have done in secret that's going to be kept secret. It's going to be brought into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ at either the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. He's the judge of both of those judgments because, remember, he says the Father has committed all judgment to the Son.
In the Gospel of John. Now, but would you say in this context that if someone takes that view that probably the emphasis here, since he's talking to the disciples, would be the judgment seat of Christ?
I think it would, because if you look over in Luke 8, you know, you've got the parable of the four soils, and then he interprets the parable of the four soils in Luke 8, 11 to 15, and then he applies the parable of the four soils in verses 16 and 17. The four soils, the emphasis there is on soils 2, 3, and 4.
All believers.
All
right.
Believers, and we're to be the good soil. He then says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, notice the same thing we have in Mark 4, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, same thing in Mark 4, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light, which again is in Mark 4. Therefore, take heed how you hear. Well, he's just been talking about the four soils and hearing the word of God. Take heed how you hear the word of God. Whoever has, to him more will be given, and one who does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. So it seems to me the application here is our reception of the word of God is going to determine our rewards at the judgment seat of Christ.
So would the lamp here be Christ's gaze, you know, at the judgment seat of Christ, that he sees everything, the lamp is going to come and reveal it, his judgment, whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But you have another interpretation, which certainly makes sense contextually. And what was your interpretation?
Yeah, as I was looking at this commentary, when you go up, and by the way, this is also in the Luke passage as well, in verse 10 of Mark, Jesus quotes, he's going to quote in verse 12 of Mark 4 from Isaiah about the Jews are not going to be able to see those who've rejected Christ's message that we saw at the end of chapter 3. And then he says
that parables can actually be used to kind of hide the truth.
Exactly.
In plain sight.
In plain sight. And so he says in verse 10 and 11, he's saying to the disciples, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. They're going to be in darkness. They're not going to see. That's why I'm speaking to them in parables. So
the unbelieving Jews.
Yeah, the unbelieving Jews. So, and he quotes from Isaiah. So this is to the nation here, to the religious leaders. But to you, it's going to be given to understand these things. So the Greek word in verse 21 is a lamp brought. It's better translated come. Does a lamp come? And so the other way to understand this, and boy, I hope again this challenges us all to look at this, is that as Jesus is teaching them in parables, he's telling the disciples, I'm not speaking to you in parables to keep you in the dark. My teachings here come to you to reveal the mystery of the kingdom, that the kingdom is still coming, the parable of the four soils, the harvest is coming, and I'm going to explain these things to you who are my disciples. There's nothing hidden. I'm not holding anything back from you. I'm revealing to you these things, these truths.
So you're saying Jesus is the lamp.
Or his teachings would be the lamp.
Okay, his teachings are the lamp, and they're not, even though he uses parables.
Right.
They're really not to hide the truth. They're to reveal it, but to those who are open.
That's right. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
So the other people, they're not going to hear.
Right.
But the problem is not that Jesus hasn't taught. It's just they don't get it yet.
Yes, and the disciples say, why are you speaking to us in parables? And what Jesus is saying under this interpretation is, I'm not doing this to keep you in the dark. I'm coming to reveal these things to you. You know, if you have ears to hear, and I'm explaining them to you.
So it would seem like both could be true.
Yeah, this is one of those cases.
That could be true, and the judgment seat of Christ application.
Yeah, because both of those certainly are true, right?
Yeah.
And the application would be, in this one that I just explained, that if we are disciples of the Lord, he wants us to know his truth. He wants us to know the things that he's taught us
well,
in his
fact,
word.
He will reveal it to us we're open.
Exactly.
If we have ears to hear.
If you have ears to hear, he's not keeping us in the dark. He wants us to know more about him.
He wants to reveal more.
Bingo. So yeah. There you go. We hope that this kind of thing, you say, wow, which one is it? You know, is it all four of these things we discussed? But we hope it will cause you all, when the commentary to come out, to get it. Discuss these things among yourselves.
Yeah, and meditate on these verses. Think about it. Pray about it. The Lord will give you insight. And like I said, it's possible that both could be true.
Sure.
I mean, well, both are true, but it's possible that both can be intended.
That's what Jesus means.
Yeah, yeah.
I sure enjoyed the interaction with Bob here. I hope you all did. And in the meantime,
keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus. It's free by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, getting rid of a 12-year problem. We hope you'll join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.